Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 44 episode 11 predictions and power rankings. Tonight, we are joined for the first time by Carla Cruz Godoy of Survivor 43. Very excited to finally have you on, Carla. I know we've been discussing for a while. It's almost surreal to think here we are. And that's how it's been the last couple of weeks. You're the third one from 43 now after we didn't have anybody for a long time. So excited to have you here.
What an honor. Thank you so much. I'm excited to talk with y'all and get to know y'all and talk anything and everything 44 and 43.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is 44. We are predicting the final seven. But you're coming off of a season. You're still, what, 5 months removed from seeing yourself on TV? And How has it been for you to sit down, watch the show now? How are you feeling about the players? You find yourself yelling at the TV more, less, indifferent? How are you feeling?
I think character wise, well, one, it's really exciting, obviously, I think to be able to be off TV, to watch other people. I couldn't really focus during the episodes because I was just constantly, for my season, I was just constantly, what's going to happen? What's mm-hmm. the edit going to show? What's going to be left out? But with 44, I get to smile more. I get to enjoy, I don't want to call them characters, enjoy the players, enjoy the storyline. There's a lot more like yesing, so I'm here for it. It just feels great. It's like a weight has been lifted off.
And are you still enjoying it like a lot watching though? Like I know you're saying the weight's been lifted off, but are you finding yourself saying certain things like with the edit or anything where you're like, wait, that can't be what happened or that is what happened. Are you feeling that?
I mean, you definitely see things from a different lens. I think watching things, you're like, but what really happened, right? Okay, mm-hmm. like this is what they want us to see, but I wonder what really went down at this other camp. Oh, I'm not seeing enough of these people, especially like early pre-merge. I was like, all right, I guess the story isn't as important, or there's a lot of things you pick up on that are a little bit different. I am enjoying it. It's healing. It's a healing process. Mm-hmm. I think something that people don't really talk about is just this, I'm only 5 months from it airing, from the last episode, but it's still it's the only way I can describe it is healing. There's a lot of memory loss from my experience. It's so weird from like the moment I got back, I was like, I don't remember what just happened 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's just like these big moments have just been blacked out of my mind. And I'm like, maybe it's the starvation. Maybe it's like, I don't know. So it's great. It's slow now. It feels great to see it. It feels happy. And just to watch it in a different lens is therapeutic in a way. It's like, you got this, but also let's cheer and celebrate other people who are going through this process now.
Yeah, I know this is completely against everything about the show, but it would be really nice if you could journal about it like while you were out there, because you can obviously come back and watch every time, but that's not even going to be, I don't know, an eighth of the experience that you had out there.
Yeah, for sure. I wish that I journaled right before, while I was in Ponderosa, I journaled, and then I mm-hmm. journaled immediately after I got out of the game. And then I didn't journal once I got back to the US, but I did journal the one day of the premiere. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have journaled up until like maybe 6 months after, like mm-hmm. I still would have kept journaling just because it's a ride. And it's, you know, for some people it's a short, quick ride. You get over it really fast. For others, it can take them a long time. And yeah, it's interesting, but it's really cool though, to see the highs of my emotions when I recently just found my journal again, cause I lost it for a bit. I was like, no, my secret. I was like, they're going to read my tea. No, but I was just like, wow. The excitement that I came out of the game with, was just very different from the emotions that I felt watching it.
Yeah. And they used to, like, with the personal items or whatever you could bring, people did sometimes bring journals, which I would love to go back to. I think it was in season one, Gretchen brought a journal or somebody like that brought a journal. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see what that season one journal looks like right now, because they really were doing something that was changing the culture, which yeah, who would have thought, right? And like how seriously it was being taken or how not seriously it was being taken. I'd love to see that journal. Whoever it was in season one or two, somebody had a journal, and I would love to see that right now.
Yeah, I forget who it was. The names are really bad because I binged like all 40 seasons during mm-hmm. COVID. So I'm like, I don't know that person's name or see what season they were on. But I remember someone who had a journal, didn't they also do a challenge where they were able to remember and write down? Mm-hmm. It was like a challenge where it was like, who did this or this and this? Mm-hmm. And they knew because they were able to write down those details.
Zach says V1 season four because of that journal. That might be it, because I think it was when they were trying to figure out with each other. Like who had this, and like the questions were all about your fellow castaways. She might have broken the journal because she knew everything about everybody.
Yeah, she broke the game.
Yes. And fun fact, they do have you submit what do you call them, sentimental objects or something that you can bring with you. Whether or not they make it on the show is obviously up to them. But I think a journal was definitely one of those things that you cannot bring. I think I brought like a stuffed animal based off like something that reminded me of my wife. I don't know what else other people brought. I think pictures, but they were like, you can't, like if you, too many people can't submit a picture, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah, they want it to be different enough, yes. Which makes sense.
Had you watched Survivor before the pandemic, or did you just like bomb through it?
Not Cody. No, I'm just kidding. No, I started watching Survivor in undergrad in 2015. Around that time, actually, you know what's really cool? It's full circle. Is that I met a friend in undergrad in one of my education classes. He's like, "You have to watch Survivor," and I was like, "Down, I'm here for it." Right? Got hooked on it immediately. And then just was just kind of like a casual viewer. Pandemic then was like, because I loved it so much, let's go all out. But I had never ever between 2015 and 2020 had I thought about ever applying, just because I thought it was super unattainable. Like a regular ass person like me would never be on this show. And I think a lot of it just had to do with the type of folks that were being cast. They were all beautiful to me. It seemed right, like supermodels, gorgeous, young, hot people. And I was like, that's never going to happen. Binged it in 2020, and I think I finished around 2021 mid-year, let's say, and something just got into me and I was like, I gotta watch it. Anyway, fast forward, I get on the show, I tell no one, right? It isn't until I come back, the promo was released, right, when I was still filming, and my friend Dane, who introduced me to Survivor, he finally was like, you bitch, like you did it. And I was like, I know, like it. And he had been trying for so many years. So the fact that like I got on and now he's like, you've kind of like relit that fire in me. But then I kind of played it back too, because I was like, you got to come with me to the parties in LA, like come to the finale with me, like come meet all my cat. It was really cool.
That's awesome. Something that never Phil, we've never talked about this. Like in those 2 minute teasers at the finale, there's always like four or five people who are in it. And we never talk about the fact that like those people are like outed, for lack of a better term, like 6 months before everyone else is. But it's kind of cool because it's like, oh, look, you're the face of this right now.
Yeah. I think it was really interesting for me specifically because, or at least the people that were shown in that promo at the end of 42, is I didn't know. Right. So the moment I landed in LA, we got our phones back, and then I just see like an influx of followers. And I remember they were like, don't post anything. And I got way too excited. And I was like, it's just my Instagram followers. Like, no one knows about me. Wrong. Stupid. Why did I do that? Well,
because also
they'll always find you.
You all were still playing during that finale, right? Or had you just gone out or something like that?
The finale was when? Was it the 26th?
Yeah, it was end of May. Yeah, it was the 26th.
Around now,
because I got married the 29th. So yes, it was the 26th.
Congrats. So I think I was probably out maybe the 25th-ish. So the game was still going. No, because I think I got out the 26th, because the 28th was the last day of the game. I think I did get out the 26th.
So that's crazy though. So you're not even done playing the game, and they've cut a promo that has you in it. You don't know how you're going to be viewed by the public. You don't know anything about that.
You don't know how you've done
out there.
Exactly. And I think they only took really the interviews before you go out into the game, and maybe a few clips of the marooning. But that interview that I gave where I was like, I'm an ethical person, there's nothing I wouldn't do, blah, blah, blah. That was all before I went out onto the island. So it's really interesting that like,
yeah,
that hype was also very different to how I played the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember anything about any promo ever. So it's probably just like in the moment, there's so much hype. But it makes sense that they would cut it then, because if it's when you've like, you're so much more tan than you were at the beginning, like it can kind of give it away.
Yeah, that's true. Or like lost a lot of weight.
What was it? It was the Kelly Wentworth photo after Second Chances, where she took the photo with her now husband, and everybody was like, either she has an eating disorder or she makes it very far in this game. And that was kind of the big one. I remember that. So before we jump into season 44, I do want to ask, you pretty much went through the gauntlet of like social media. At first, it was like the beloved Carla. And then by the finale night, it was like, we are now going to like, we're coming for Carla. Like, what is going on?
Yes.
What were like the emotions of both of those things? And were you even thinking about this while you were playing the game, like how you were going to be perceived on social media and things like that?
Of course. I mean, you think about the things that you definitely say. Obviously, the highs of being well-liked is ego. I mean, all of it's ego. I actually had a really interesting conversation with Hai about this. it's ego. It feels great to be loved when people think you're going to win. And that was for the majority, I think, especially pre-merge, that was Carla. But then when you sense a turn, and or for me, it was very sudden. It was the last episode, basically. One, you don't ever prepare for a backlash. That was never in my plan because that was never my experience. So to see that play out with the way that the finale played out was very interesting, because never in my journal was I ever upset. Was I ever, I think I was a little afraid of like what an edit could do, right? Like, I don't ever want to be portrayed as someone who's mean, blah, blah, blah. But you can't imagine that ever happening. So I think the highs feel great and the lows feel really bad. I mean, what was going through my head specifically, I think finale, the next day of the finale, because finale night, I was having some of my life, right? I was just like, people are going to see everything that happened. It's going to be great. People can tell the story. Obviously, a lot of people didn't get the story that they wanted to get and or ending that they wanted to have. But for me, it was the day after, was very, it was kind of like shell shocked. I was just like, what the hell just happened? And why are people targeting me specifically and a little bit Jesse? I think that was a part that I was just very confused about. I can tell, obviously, months of reflecting now, it's what was shown. But so many aspects of, sorry, I'm trying to count votes, of five other people's votes were not shown. And I think it's unfortunate that, I don't know, that the rest of the jury didn't speak up as to why they voted a certain way or why people didn't hold other people more accountable. And, but I'll say this. It was really interesting because when you're going through it, when you're shell-shocked and you're just kind of very confused as to why it's happening, I was very lucky because I was in LA and I had been DMing with Jerry Manthe.
Oh my God, the dream.
I hate when that happens.
It was so beautiful because I had texted her and she was like, I have a feeling you're going through something, right? Oh, she's like, what's going on? And so she came over to where I was staying in LA. And we just had the most beautiful heart-to-heart conversation because she was like the original villain and her experience was very different because it was during kind of like the tabloid era, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm going through like a social media era of hate at that time. So the way that we bonded and connected and she supported me was just, I love Jerry. And she was like one of the few people to like really understand. And she's been there for me since. So.
That is the most beautiful respect. I can't believe you're wow, that's incredible. I'm really glad that you two were able to do that for each other. That's really, really wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going to really go out on Survivor DM her. Purposefully be mean so that Jerry will be listening. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go.
He's
like
listening beyond. And she's like, I'm going to block this guy.
It is.
But sorry. I just also want to say though that a lot of people, it's just, it's the story that wants to be told, right? Because you have people, and specifically in my season, right, who have been mean, who said mean things that was never shown. And you have people who have said very nice things, but their character was never nice. So it's just interesting how, like, people show, or, like, what is shown to people.
And you would think with how, like, inside baseball Survivor has become, like, we all are obsessed with like the production, like there's so much we know now versus back in like 2010, you would think that there would be more understanding of the fact that we're getting 42 minutes out of however many weeks, like you would you really would think but
for sure. And you know what's funny is that I went in with the mentality, right, just to go back to the question, did I ever think about how I was going to be portrayed? Of course, because I was like, I cannot be rude. I cannot be like crazy mean. I cannot be the mean Carla that I have the potential to be in real life because I'm a professional, right? I have a career, I have a job. But so anytime I said something and or acted a certain way, specifically finale, I remember just being like, I'm saying this to you because this is a game. Real Carla does not feel this way about you. So please understand that this is me trying to stay in this game. That has always been said with anything that I may have said on the game, right? Like, but things like that are never included. Yeah. But yes,
right.
I had to be like, this is a cave. This is not who I am. But
people
really want to believe.
And it makes sense because, like, we talk about it all the time with, like, the social media world, because we just rewatched All Stars not too long ago. My wife has never watched the early season, so we were watching that. And when you watch Jerry at the finale and she gets booed off the stage, you're like, she's kind of right here. And it's funny to see how that's changed. But social media world is such a high or low. There is, like, there's nobody who everybody's like, yeah, I'm okay about you on social media. Like, I kind of like following you, or I kind of don't like following you. It's either like,
yeah,
I love you, or like, we need to start sending death threats. Like, there's no middle. Mm-hmm. And it's wild, like, especially for you. I remember, like, we had McKenna, who's one of the people who does some podcasts with us. We had her on, and she was like, oh, it's just going to be great because Carla's going to win, and, like, the world's going to be happy. And then by finale night, it was like, oh, my God, if Carla wins, like, what's going to happen? Because it was just insane, that, like, 180 that happened in the snap of a finger. So,
yeah.
But I'm happy you're happy. Social media
too. Like, yeah, I'm happy that it sounds like whatever has happened has happened, and it sounds like – you're in a very good place about it. So I'm glad that you and Jerry hang out. That will be my takeaway from whatever else we talk about today. Well,
guess what? We're going to Burning Man together.
No way.
Isn't that crazy? Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Love that.
You have one quick fan question. Someone named Jesse Lopez is curious about how your finger's doing.
Someone named Jesse Lopez.
I don't know wow. Who it is.
I don't know. First of all, thank you so much for being a fan. I really appreciate you. There's someone who really tried to make sure I was medevaced. My finger is great.
Play to win.
Jesse, I love that Jesse's just like, no, her finger's infected, guys. Like, get her out.
You should cut it off.
Get her out.
So what do you think of – oh, go ahead before
– I was just going to say that wasn't my finger, and all the other injuries with my ankle were not the worst things. It was the infections that I had when I came back. I had to go to the ER, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
The injuries never stopped.
Yeah. That storyline kind of, not to talk about your life as a storyline, that's very weird, but like your thing, there was so much going on and then it just ended. And we were like, does she have a finger? Like, where'd it go? Are we okay?
Yeah. Well, I think once I won that challenge, the Jaws challenge, I think at that point I knew the finger is no issue. Like, we're not going to worry about that. But it's funny because people always assumed that towards the end, you got to take Carla to fire because her finger's still injured. But I'm like, I just won 2 challenges. What do you mean? I'm fine. My finger's fine. It's my ankle. It's everything else that's not fine. Yeah. It's that. And then there's one scene that was left. Well, not a scene, but after my hand stopped working during the final 5 challenge, we did have medical called, and I was, you know, chatting with the doctor, and Jeff is giving me water to drink. It was so beautiful. And he helped me down the stairs, and I was like, will it be a deleted scene? Will they show it? But it wasn't part of the storyline. So it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was cute.
That would have been cute. He likes that. I feel like you and Jeff had a good rapport too. I feel like was shown a few times.
Jeff and I? Was,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
You two were really vibing.
Yeah, we were. I mean, I complimented him, right? And I was like, I love you, as I was taking my last breath, which I'm so excited and shocked to see the last gasp come back to back, because I was like, I thought that would be, for it to be such a classic, I was like, all right, we won't see it in Fiji again. Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, I don't know how the schedule works, but maybe it's too hard to add another challenge.
For just sure.
One season. But yeah, I'm curious how that's going to go, because you guys beat it. We'll see if someone else can beat it.
I feel like I told production immediately after, I was like, if you just lowered it by an inch, would have been fine. Like, y'all would have been great. So maybe that's what they did.
Probably don't want you all like actually drowning. And they're like, it is going above the water at this point. Like, you know, like Survivor players being as competitive as you all are, you're gonna be like, no, I'll just hold my breath until I pass out. Like, whatever.
That was part of my plan.
Yeah.
Like, I knew they were scuba divers down there, but I was like, I will drown and it's fine because they'll rescue me. Like,
I won't die trying.
I love that though, because like, while they're rescuing you, it's like, no, somebody else pulled me out. Like, this isn't, I didn't want to leave. I would just
exactly leave my body
there. Little Mermaid Carla over here just hanging out. Like, whatever.
I didn't ask for this.
but let's jump into this upcoming episode then. So we're gonna have Last Gasp. Obviously, you and Owen broke it last year. That was a very good time. There is a person who has Breathe in all of their
I know.
Is there any way Danny doesn't win this? Do you think he could potentially be the one who does what you and Owen did?
You know what's interesting? I do believe anyone else can beat Danny because the assumption at camp when we played this was that Owen was wholeheartedly the only person that was going to win because he swam. And so everyone, even Cody, I knew, like, I had a feeling Cody was going to choose, you know, Owen as his champion. Everyone was just expecting him to win and or Cody. So for me to come out of nowhere and be like, psych, we can tie this together and watch out for the big girls. Anyone can do it. But my money is on Danny. I mean, if he does this for a living, helping people breathe and breathing and knowing and timing your breathing is essentially what the challenge is about. And meditating and relaxing, because that's what kept me there underwater. I think he has it in the bag. But I will not be surprised if someone else does.
I didn't even consider the meditative aspect of it. That's, I feel like, half the battle.
Literally, yes, 100% it is. And if there's a swell, at least for what did it for me was you can tell when the water's coming and going. At times the water was higher than usual, but you knew it was going to come down. So if you just like waited it out, and it's all about your heart control and heart, you know, there's a science to it, but once you crack it, you crack it.
That's awesome.
So I love it.
I hope my bet is he's going to win it. Mm-hmm. And my bet is that win is going to turn things around at camp because I feel like he's going to be the initial target. I think. And then I think that's going to change the game.
Yeah. So what are you feeling right now? So they just sent home Franny last week. How are you feeling about the Tika in the middle and the other two tribes kind of letting Tika stay there?
Well, I mean, the notion of letting them stay there, right? It's kind of like, y'all get it together. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, it's like, yes, do that thing, right? Like if they don't see you making these moves as a Tika 3, like, stay there, you know, figure out what y'all want to do. However, right, we see the next on Survivor, this idea of Carolyn feeling left out, being left out, going back to camp and then just kind of being like, how dare you? I don't see it cracking 100%. I see it as a Jam Carson doing a lot of, what's the term? I forget the term, but they're going to be like, Carolyn, you have to stay strong with us. We are so sorry, right? And then they're going to come back united. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that's exactly what's going to happen. And or make a big performance about it and make it seem like there's numbers elsewhere when in reality they are still 100% united. But for everyone else, y'all are big, big, big trouble.
Do you see the other four now teaming up, though, to vote out Tika? Because it's 2-2. Danny said last week he loves Lauren, and Lauren had the one sentence of around the well where she said, I don't really like that Danny's trying to talk strategy because he never has, but he makes sense, so maybe I should work with him. Do you see the four teaming up to take out Atika or no?
I think Heidi's the big wild card, and since Jamie and Lauren have already voted Heidi before, I think that's the big riff. I think it's hard to believe someone who's already voted for you to ever align together because in the back of your head you're like, I don't know, you've already tried to get me out once. So I think Heidi's gonna be interesting. I'm interested, right, to see the role that Heidi plays, especially given that she has an idol. I'm interested, I'm just like talking and working things through because I feel like Jamie and Lauren have been grouped together a lot as a pair. So I wonder if that is going to seem suspicious to folks. I don't know. And or in addition, last episode, we saw a lot of shots when Jamie was talking about this like idol that she had. You saw these shots to people's faces and they were kind of like, get out of here. So I wonder if that's going to build up. And that gives us a perception of how the players feel about Jamie. And so I wonder if that's going to continue on into this episode as well.
Yeah. You bring up a really good point early on about how Tika probably will get back together. I feel like this was, like, Carolyn is probably the most frustrated she has been. But looking at who's left, I don't know who she would work with because she clearly doesn't want to work with Danny. And I don't know when she's spoken to Heidi and Lauren and Jamie, it feels random. So it's almost like by necessity, they have to get back together.
I could see a girls thing happening. I really
there almost
could.
Was.
And, yeah. And I'm calling it that because I think somebody called it earlier in the season, like we could do a girls thing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But it hasn't really been given serious consideration. But mm-hmm. the only people who were left out last week, if I'm remembering correctly, were Carolyn and Heidi, who both voted for Danny because Franny obviously voted wrong, but she's gone. So mm-hmm. if Carolyn and Heidi are both already saying, let's get rid of Danny. And if Carolyn is pissed at Carson and Jam Jam, she easily could go over to Jamie, who maybe nobody respects, but says we can beat you at the end. And you have Lauren. Why mm-hmm. wouldn't the four women want to team up to take out one of the three guys, especially when right now you would say socially it feels like it's Jam Jam, puzzle wise it's definitely Carson, and physically Danny was great at the physical part. He just can't do a puzzle to save his life. So why wouldn't mm-hmm. they want to team up and go that route? I just don't know if they'll do it, but I feel like that has to be a storyline this episode.
I can see that. However, I would add, right, that it's often, especially in this stage, really, I mean, you know what? I would love to see that. And you know why? Because what I was going to say is it's really hard to break what feels comfortable, especially in like the final seven. So a lot of people stick to, you know, like, I feel comfortable with this person. We've been voting together this entire time. Let's just keep it moving. Obviously, months after reflecting on my season, I think it would have been great if we would have shaken things up around the final seven and then just kind of like flip the game. So if something like that does happen, yes, I'm here for some flipping of the game, some alliances coming together that we've never seen people, you know, interact with. I think it's a lot of folks because they're so, it's kind of like tunnel vision at that point. You're like, how can I get to final five? They don't think about stepping outside of their comfort zone. So I would love to see someone do that, honestly.
Yeah. And right now, like Carolyn has been playing emotionally. For as much fun as Carolyn is, she's an emotional player. She's been thinking as well. So I'm not discrediting that, but she has been playing emotionally throughout. She was really pissed at Jam Jam. And then the thing with Josh happened. And then she's coming back being like, Jam Jam, no, we're best buddies. Don't leave me. Like all that, like that moment there. And that to me was like, they're playing emotionally. So I think for Carolyn, her emotion could actually be to her benefit here. Because I think if she goes with Heidi, Jamie, and Lauren, there's a chance Carolyn wins this game. I don't think she can beat Jam Jam. I still think she can beat Danny and Carson maybe. But she's got to mm-hmm. break away from Jam Jam, or I think she's in trouble. So perhaps mm-hmm. if she is really pissed off, that could be good for her. And I almost want it to be like, don't get too logical. Don't start being too logical. Like, be a little more emotional, because mm-hmm. now is when it can benefit you at Final Seven.
Yes. Yes. And I think around final seven is when I caught myself for sure saying I should try to build new bonds and, or try to strengthen the relationships that were not strong. Mm-hmm. For example, with Owen, I did not really have a relationship with Owen. In fact, I was like, Owen, you know, to me, we just never bonded, never meshed well together. But I remember thinking, try. Mm-hmm. But I think I was just so exhausted at that point. I was like, nah, I'm okay. Like, I have my, if people can do that, kudos to them. And also, doesn't Carolyn has an idol, right?
She does.
Yeah, she does.
Carolyn and Heidi have idols. There's so much power that you can do with an idol at this stage of the game. Obviously, you want to hold on to them. Obviously, you want to just try to secure your position in the final five, final four. That's great. But as we've seen, right? Like, flashy moves are great moves. Being under the radar is great as well. But if you want to really like shake things up, use them. So I don't know if they're going to be used. Would love for them to be used at the final seven. I think that is a great trajectory. Can totally flip the entire game. Obviously, I'm just wishful thinking here.
Yeah.
But it makes sense though, because I feel like recently we've seen people like Marianne holding on to her idol and then saying, mm-hmm. look, here it is. You almost don't, like for Carolyn or Heidi, you don't want them to get to a point where it's the final five and they play it just to have something to do.
Exactly.
Because then it's wasteful. So I would hope that maybe this is Carolyn's wake up call to say, okay, I can't play with Jam Jam. I'm going to use this and that will be the way that I get him out. That's why I have Carolyn at number one. I think she's probably still the safest person, even though she's really the only one who doesn't have an ally at this point, or doesn't have an ally directly coming off of that tribal council. Mm-hmm. But I think she's been sitting on that aisle for so long, and I think that's been really good. And now, like you guys have been saying, this is the perfect time to use that to at least influence people to work with you, or influence new people to work with you.
Yeah, nice. Carla, who do you have at one? Who would you agree with Alexa? Or are you going a different route?
No. I actually agree. I do have Carolyn as number one. She seems like she's coming in as a very central character, person, contestant.
It's so weird, right?
I know, it's so weird.
You want to be treated like a human when you're out there, and now you know, right? It's like, oh, it's so hard not to.
But yes. Idol, given that she has one, but also she's coming in hot, full with emotion, and in a way is going to kind of have to make a decision. So yes, I have her as one as well.
I'm looking through our rankings here, Alexa, and it is so absurd. So we do our game so with everybody, patrons, and the last 2 weeks, the only person at number one from either Alexa, myself, our guest, or any of our patrons has been Carolyn. So I'm going to throw a wrench in that plan because, look, I love Carolyn. She's great TV. She's a lot of fun. She has an idol. I get it. But I'm going to put Heidi at number one, and she also has an idol. And the reason I put Heidi there, Carolyn, is because Jam Jam and Carson are about to meet a really pissed off Carolyn, like more pissed off than she's ever been. And they might be able to subdue that and say, look, like, we're good. Just stick with us. And if Carolyn buys it and these guys say, you know what? We should vote her out anyway. I could see that happening in this moment because I do feel like Carolyn's going to try to be like, if you want me to trust you, I'll trust you. She's very forward. And I think that that could be a problem for her. Heidi just got burned. And Heidi now knows she got burned. And Heidi also went after her closest ally. So Heidi has really no choice but to assume that she's in trouble this week, which I think is good for her with that idol. And I do think that Carolyn, coming off this last episode, she might not have one of her original allies, but I think Heidi is somebody who can definitely talk to Carolyn through everything that's going to go on this week and say which route is really the best one for us to take. And I think Heidi has the connections to make it work. So I'm going to put her at one. I'm going to break the streak. I think I had six straight weeks of Carolyn at number one. So it was time.
Wow.
And say that she is the safest.
Well, it's funny because then I don't know if this is a segue to number two, but I have Heidi as number two, literally for those similar reasons, similar to Carolyn, right? She's already was left out, didn't make the majority of the vote. I think we're seeing a little bit more of her. She found an idol in a very interesting way. I don't know who I was talking to about it, but how the camera seemed to focus when it was, you know, Kane and Danny, and then out of nowhere, here she comes and just swoops in. So I feel like, I don't know if in these, you know, in this episode, there's going to be some momentum, in the way that she kind of bounces back. So I have a strong feeling that she is, I'm ranking her too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a good point you bring up with the way it was edited. Because that's kind of been her edit on the season as a whole, where she's been nothing, and now she's swooping in, and all of a sudden it's like, is she a power player? Like, why were we never told she was a power player? So I wonder if, like, that's her arc, and potentially she could win. Here's my question to you, though, based on Heidi. She swung and she missed. She went after Danny, who is her biggest ally in the game, her closest ally, and she missed. And now Franny's gone, and she goes back to a tribe where the only other person who started with her original color she just tried to get damage control time. How does this work for Heidi? Like, as a jury, do you think they're sitting there going, something didn't work? I mean, obviously they're going to get the information further down the line, but what is going through your head if you're Heidi?
Oh, I mean, I kind of avoided that, but avoided being in that situation at the same time, around the same time. What do you do in that situation? I think it's, one, we don't know if all of the relationships that we've seen so far are the only relationships that have been built. Mm-hmm. However, if I were Heidi, I would try to connect as much as I can to Jam and Carson.
I would obviously apologize and try to create some and blame it on Franny and be like, this is what happened, Danny. I am like, I was for these reasons, this is why I voted this way. Obviously you have to really try damage control, but then obviously try to figure out some other avenues if there's any take there. Mm. It's hard though, because you really just need 4 votes for this. Unless obviously there's idols played, advantages found. You never know.
Yeah, we don't know. There could be something out there on the island right now that we're all going, we're not even thinking about that. And then it pops up. But what's been fun to watch is Knowledge is Power had an impact on this game, and Knowledge is Power isn't even in the game. So it's something that they're talking about. And I hope it stays that way. I hope Knowledge is Power doesn't come back, but I don't mind people considering it and passing around idols and things like that as a means of kind of trying to do a little control. I think that's kind of fun.
I feel like it's way too late at this point to add that in because it's so targeted, but I...
Season 39, what did Dean get on like Final 5 or yeah. Final 4? He got the Steel Janet's idol advantage where he literally just was like, oh, Janet, I know you have it. I'm going to take that from you. I got this from Rob.
So
yeah,
bad.
You never know.
You never know. Yeah. Alexa, who's your 2?
Okay, I'm going to put Danny at 2 and Heidi at 3. So all kind of the same. I don't do this, but I'm going to put all my eggs in the Danny winning immunity basket. Phil didn't like that because he probably hit the exact same
thing. I did the same thing, and I thought I was going to have Danny at 2 and like change everything up. I'm trying to be different this week because it's been so similar, but now Alexa steals my thunder.
But yeah, I also think he isn't necessarily in a bad position. I think him gunning for Franny, I think is definitely a little odd because he just saved her like 2 weeks ago, but... Mm-hmm. And he also, Franny was probably his biggest challenge competitor as well. So he's probably exposing himself a little bit more as well. But it could be that point where it doesn't really matter. There aren't many immunity challenges left. Not that he knows that last gasp is coming, but he very well could win that. But at the same time, even though he's playing really aggressively, I think it matches very well with his personality that it doesn't come off as overbearing or I'm trying to force my plans onto you. Or if it is... People are working with it. So I'm going to put Danny up there and Heidi. She has an idol and I do feel confident that she would play it if she felt lost. But like you guys said, this is her first time being wrong and her first time being pretty much completely left out. And I fear that it could mean she's left out again, because once this happened, it might be kind of hard for her to refind herself, especially because she voted for her number one ally, but she can use her idol to save herself.
So I have Danny at 2 and then I put Carolyn at 3. So we all, I mean, at least Alexa, you and I have the same top 3. We'll talk to Carla about her 3 in a sec. But when I'm looking at this, the fact that we know it's last gasp, like Carla, you were saying, nobody's really expecting you to win that. But I wasn't shocked to see you win that, because up until that point, we had seen you already win an immunity challenge, right? Like we had seen you, you had already taken one. So we had seen like, Carla's competitive. Carla's in this. I mean, your season was just like the whole time, the people who are winning immunities, you're sitting there like really Gabler outheld whatever over Cody and Sammy or whatever. Yeah. Like that was kind of your season in a nutshell. This season, the people who have won immunity are Brandon. He's gone. Franny. She's gone. And Lauren. And Lauren's was in that challenge where you're bracing yourself, which has always favored women. That has just been a challenge where that has favored them. Danny hung on as long as he could and he lost. And then Carson won last week, but Carson won because of a puzzle, and we all know the puzzle story. So when I look at this and I know it's just last gasp, I know they're not doing it, and then they're going to do a puzzle after. I say, who out of the 7 remaining has what it takes to beat Danny in this, and who has shown it so far to beat him in this? Carson, I'm not buying because he's a puzzle guy. I don't buy it from Jam Jam. He hasn't really shown much in the challenges at all, which might be part of his strategy. It might be working. Heidi, Jamie, maybe because of yoga, but not really Heidi. I'm going Danny. What do you got?
Actually, now that I think about who maybe, Heidi runs marathons.
Does she? See, I should have looked that up.
She looks jacked. Like she's got muscles.
I also think that, and I saw some, Jake just said Jam Jam. Well, I don't know if the challenge, but 97%. Jam Jam is from Puerto Rico. He is, I mean, similar to Cody, right? We thought because he's always in the water. I don't know if Jam Jam's always in the water, but I think about access to being on the beach or access to constantly swimming and or be. But I think Heidi might be able to put up the best fight
just by seeing in terms of like, you know, just athleticism, maybe.
I got to poke my hole in this theory right away. So I was a distance runner and I was at the beach today. And when I went in the water, I didn't even get my hair wet. You know, like I'm not holding my breath. I'm not doing it at all. So I think it's your personality, right? Like,
yeah,
like Cody had that personality. Like, this is what his job is. Like, he's, you know, or whatever his, I don't even know what Cody's job is, but he's just like, that's what he does. He hangs out and he was the sales guy. That's right. Cause he made that
elevator sales. Whole
thing about sales. But like, when I look at Jam Jam, I'm like, okay, like, is this part of Jam Jam's personality? Danny, to me, it's just like, he's going to be sitting there doing his little breathing exercises. And I'm putting him really high because of that. Mix it up. He's probably going to be the target. He's going to be the conversation until they actually get to the immunity challenge. Mm-hmm. And then it's just going to be a matter of if he does win, as I'm expecting him to, and I think mm-hmm. Alexa is, who does it turn to?
Yeah.
And you said this was your number two, right?
So Danny was my two, and then Carolyn was my three, and Carolyn and Heidi kind of go back and forth. So who do you have at three, Carla?
Danny. Okay. Literally for those exact same reasons. And as I mentioned earlier, if he comes back to win it, the challenge, I think then that's going to turn the tables. But yeah, that's why I have him at three.
All right. So here's where it starts to get interesting. So
we're all doing the same thing.
Four through seven. Different people. Okay. Who do you have at four?
I have Lauren at four. Mm-hmm. Mainly because she was in the majority last episode. I see some really way to be in the right or be in the know for this next vote. I just don't really see her as being threatened whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's more to know about her. So yeah, I just have her at four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she went Heidi the week before and Franny the week before that when Brandon went home and the idol was played mm-hmm. for Franny. So like, she hasn't really been lost in any of this. Like, she kind of knows what's going on. I know she voted Heidi and Kane went home, so that was a shocker to her. But then last week, she rebounded quickly to vote correctly for Franny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lauren, I feel like Lauren, that little bit, last week was like the love episode between Lauren and Danny where they spoke to each other twice and we were like, oh my God, like they're friends, who would have thought? That could mean something as we head into this week where Danny might win immunity. And all of a sudden, him and Lauren are talking strategy together, or they're friendly. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that pick. Alexa, who's your four?
I'm actually going to put Carson at number four. And I think the reaction that he got when he won immunity, like, people were pumped for him to win. And I feel like that's not always the case, especially this late in the game. And to me, that said, everyone really likes him. They all are taking him seriously enough to either be happy that he's winning or wanting him to win. I also think we've seen Carolyn and Jam Jam be mad at each other, but I don't think we've ever seen Carolyn be mad at Carson. I mm-hmm. think they seem to have more of a like equal debate, maybe. So I think if Carolyn does come back to work with them, I think it would be maybe more of a result of Carson. And I think he has very loose ties to Lauren and Jamie. So I feel like he could potentially work with them as well.
Yeah, I like that. I also have Carson at four. I think that Carson is kind of getting away with
Phil, being... We need new people to talk
he's,
to.
He's just, well, now we're down to final seven. I mean, it's pretty, I feel like it's pretty obvious who like the bottom two are at this point. And Danny would be one of the bottom two, but I feel like because Danny, the challenge is set up for him. When I look at Carson, he's almost being rewarded because they don't think he's in control. Where Jam Jam, I feel like they're maybe a little bit more concerned about like controlling votes or having more sway on that. I actually don't know who people view as the in control party, but I don't think it's Carson. And so I think that's helping him because now if he goes back to Carolyn, they can both kind of blame Jam Jam together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which works in his favor. So I have Carson at number four as well. There you go.
Carla, who do you have because I have Carson at five. Okay, only because we see slightly Carson and Jam Jam getting some heat in the preview. Carson is just really good at relationships from what we've seen and just kind of posing others as shields. I mean, and hiding behind shields and or managing his threat level, right? Like, we don't really see him be seen as like this big threat. So I rank him under four, only because of the previews, and I'd love for them to both feel some pressure. Jam Jam's already felt a lot of pressure, which is why I'm getting ahead, which is why he's number six for me. But yeah, Carson's five.
Ooh, so now I know all of Carla's, but we'll talk about Jam Jam and we'll talk about Jamie when we get there.
Okay, sorry. Yes.
Alexa, go ahead. Give me your five first so that I can just change mine and make sure I don't have the same as you.
Well, we may as well just talk about Jam Jam because Carla mentioned him and he's also my number five. He is used to getting heat. So I think that will be really good for him to bounce back. And there's just so few people that like him being in the bottom half, I don't really think he's going to go home, but I think his threat level is really growing, especially with Franny being gone. She was kind of like the common, I can't even use the word enemy because it's completely the wrong term, but now like Danny is there, but Danny's been there. I think Jam Jam sort of built up at the beginning of the merge. Like he didn't have any friends and no one wanted to vote for him. And now it seems like he's running the show. So I feel like his name is just going to come up a lot more. And I don't think like he's super tight with Carolyn and Carson, but I don't know what relationship he has with like Lauren or Jamie or Heidi.
Yeah, I actually go Lauren. So I'm siding with Carla. I'm putting Lauren ahead of Jam Jam. And my main reason for this isn't even so much something that Lauren has done. It's just if Jam Jam isn't going to win this season, I feel like this is where he has to go home. Because after this moment, like they're talking about how he's in danger, you know, Carolyn's not happy. After this moment, if we get the final six and Jam Jam and Carson and Carolyn are still there, how is Jam Jam being voted out of the game? Like, I just don't see it happening because at that, if he survives this, that means Carson and Carolyn are fine with him. And if that's the case, then that group of three is going to stay strong with one idol going into final six. No matter who's on the other side, even if Heidi's on the other side, they have one idol and they're not going to be as tight as this group of three. So I feel like this is really the group's last chance to get rid of Jam Jam. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but I just feel like maybe it is. And maybe we were just being set up for like, he was really fun. He's a good player. He's a really big personality. And this is where he goes home. After this, if he's still around, like whoever, when we do our predictions for next week and for the finale, I'm going to be obnoxious because I'm just going to be putting Jam Jam at one saying it's over. He already won. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to be really annoying. But I really feel that strongly about this is the moment to get rid of him based on edit, game, everything. At least in your season, Carla, there was always that feeling if Jesse went home, Gabler still had a confessional in every episode and you had a confessional in every episode and Cass was hanging on. I think she only missed like one and Owen might have missed one. Like, it was closer than what we're seeing right now where Lauren was ignored for three episodes in the pre-merge. Heidi's been ignored a lot in the pre-merge. Jamie was ignored and now is just the punching bag of the show. And it's just different. And I'm like, if Jam Jam doesn't survive, if Jam Jam survives this, this is his moment. So I'll put Lauren at five, Jam Jam at six, and then we can all talk about Jamie. But Alexa, who do you have at six and seven? Or who's your six?
And then- yeah, Lauren is my six and I have Jamie at seven. I really just don't have a lot to go off of for Lauren, but I think she does have an avenue with this potential Danny friendship. But I also think Jamie has a larger target on her back. There's no target on Lauren's back because her extra vote is gone. So everyone seems to have a good relationship with her. And I think that's the same case for Jamie, but Jamie did the unspeakable accident of trying to tell the truth and everyone just doesn't buy it. So yeah, it was enough to spare her, but I don't know if they believe her.
So Jamie's in last. Carla, what is going on with this poor woman's
I feel
edit
so bad
and everything that's happening to her out here?
It's so positive, right? Like there's such a positive aura that you feel how she's experiencing the game, but then you just quickly see it kind of like all of her truths are just immediately slashed and you're just kind of like, no. So as a viewer, you're not even allowed to believe her. You're immediately like, no, that's not the truth. So seeing her, you know, just try to tell the truth and then you get these cuts of people's faces. I think that's, it's just, for me, it breaks my heart because I'm just like, you know, she was out there like, yes, I had that idol. Not knowing the entire time was fake.
It so sucks.
It's very telling. However, actually, no, because it reminds me a little bit of Owen, just a little bit, in the sense that, right, he was really trying to be on the right side, but couldn't really ever catch a break. But Owen was very much aware of that.
Yeah.
And Owen
said that in his confessional. Yes. And I think that's the big difference, is you just hear, you could kind of hear the wah, 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 right? Like a little bit. And it's just, you have to feel for that. So I think that's why she's 7 for me. We've just seen it back to back to back. And I would just hate it to, if let's say she is in the final 3 and I'm like, wow, it's kind of like, that's the edit the entire time. But who knows? You never know. Things can change.
And in this new era of Survivor, the third place 0-vote finalist has been dragged, but they've known that they're being, like, it was Xander. He knew he had no control for most of the game, and he still thought he was going to get votes. But throughout the game, Xander was always talking about, I can't do anything. I don't have a vote. I don't have this. I don't have that. Ooh. Then it was Romeo. Romeo knew from day one that he was screwed. As soon as Zach went home, he tried. And then Drea, her whole situation. And he was like, oh my God. And he was a 0-vote finalist. And then last season with Owen, he always knew. And on this season, I don't necessarily see somebody who always knows, but maybe that's why they're editing Jamie this way, where they're trying to be like, look, she wasn't actually playing a very good game, and the players don't like trust her at all. So that it's explaining why she's a 0-vote finalist. I think she's going to go home before the final 3, but that would at least make sense to me, because she is a likable person and she is very positive. And you'd be like, how did this woman get 0 votes at final 3? It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm.
But also though, it makes me wonder, because relationships are everything in this game, right? So let's just say she does get to the end. Those relationships you never know what votes that positivity and that smile can get you. Mm-hmm. It's funny though, because I wonder, you mentioned, you know, the 0-vote finalists kind of knowing that, did you say knowing they were dragged or knowing that they were not going to get votes?
Just knowing that, like knowing throughout the game that they were being dragged, like they were getting dragged. I'm more talking the edit was dragging them.
Gotcha.
I don't know what's going on. I can't get a foothold. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But Jamie, to me, like we all, even though that could be the case, we all have her at the final spot. And I almost feel bad because I think this is the 4th week in a row that I have Jamie in the final spot and she hasn't gone yet. So it's been like the punching bag over here for me too, because I'm like, no, I have to stick to my guns. It's going to be Jamie. And then I watch the edit and I'm like, I almost feel like I need to just put Jamie at number 1 so they say something nice about her. Like it's so really sad. Brutal.
You should have seen me last week. I was, where was I? I was in Boston at a watch party. And my jaw was on the ground because I just never saw Franny leaving. So I was just like, what? And I'm glad for moments like that. Also, maybe I wasn't paying attention to the episode because I was probably just drinking. But it was probably really loud. But I love moments where they catch you off guard, where it's not such a clear cut, you know, from the beginning of the episode. Though you could, you know, you could pick up a little bit. But though, I don't know. That shocked me. So I hope for a shock. But given that you've had Jamie at the last place, I don't know. We'll see.
I think this is the saddest thing, but like when she goes, I'll feel like a sigh of relief for her. Like almost. It's so sad, but she's what I obviously don't know her, but she is clearly a very like positive, energetic, bubbly person. Yeah. So if anybody could handle it, it seems like she's doing a really great job of it. I just hope, I don't know. She's not playing a bad game. That's what's so like ridiculous about this. Mm-hmm.
Last week.
Yeah. Like she's not doing, why would she not think she had a real light? It's so wrong. And I think I never had much of a problem with like production putting fake idols in, but I think if this isn't what I want out of it, it's just like, I feel it's just not right.
I think the reason that she ultimately goes home this week is because if you're looking down the line, they don't know Heidi has an idol at all. We don't know who knows about Carolyn's idol. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks that Jamie is lying. If they think she's lying and she still has the idol, now is a great time to test that theory, because otherwise you're going to get the final 6 with the potential of 3 idols in play, because you haven't seen the one from Tika be played at all. you yeah. think Jamie has one. So like you have to almost take that chance this week because
for sure.
how long are you going to let her go? And then you're at final six and now she's guaranteed final five. What yeah. like, I don't know. I just say like, what are we doing? So I think they're going to gun for her this week, even if it's a split vote, even if it's like a 4-3 or a 3-3-1 or something like that. But I do ultimately think it's going to be her.
I think we all do.
I think just to make it bold, hopefully, I don't know. I think she'll be like a Ricochet, like one of those, like maybe an idol is played, maybe something's played, and maybe she isn't the original target and she just happens to go. I don't know. I think it would make it a more interesting tribal for rather sure. than folks just being like, all right, it's Jamie.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Now, you didn't really get to talk much about your number six with Jam Jam. You just kind of like threw him in and whatever. What are you thinking about Jam Jam right now? Because you had him at six. You're feeling like he's yeah. in danger a little bit from the preview, but what else?
I did want to say that, I mean, you always have to listen to what people say, obviously, in the confessionals. And he has said, you know, anyone that guns for me, they got to go. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been true. So I just, for me, that's what keeps me at six. It's like one away from being the last, but for some reason he's just been accurate with anyone that comes after him, they go. So that's what keeps him not at the bottom. But also, I mean, he's so resilient. He is the energy similar to Carolyn, right? He's the energy that we've needed for a long time. Very, very, very in control. But he'll bounce back.
Yeah.
But similar to what you said, Phil, if he doesn't get out now, that's it.
Well, and that leads perfectly into the other like the last question we always ask everybody. Who do you think is going to win the season?
Oh, based off of what I'm seeing, Jam Jam is high up there. Mm-hmm. I can see, I would love a Carolyn win, but we've seen that whole people underestimate me and no one ever, you know, really listens to what I have to say. So I hope that is not true down the line. But I would also love to see Heidi freaking go crazy and just come out of nowhere. Yeah. But Jam, I think I'm gonna go with Jam Jam.
Yeah, nice. It's funny where none of us are super confident in him this week. I have him at six. Carly, you have him at six. Alexa, you have him at five. And yet, Alexa, I don't know who you think is going to win at this point, but two out of three of us are saying Jam Jam. What are you saying, Alexa?
I think he does. I think he's in the toughest position he's been in, which is probably why we have him so low. But I think that speaks to how we think of him as a player, that he'll find his way out of this, mm-hmm. you know? So we shall see.
That's fun. Well, Carla, do you have anything else you want to say before we let you go and...
Huh, anything else that I want to say? Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, we got you here.
I have gone too far.
No, you know what? This was, you know, it was really good to be on here. I've been very, very busy with work, and now I've had like a month or two to chill. I haven't been traveling for a while, except for the fact that I'm in Canada right now.
Yeah.
but it's great to be able to talk about the show. And to start, you know, coming on more podcasts. So thank you so much for having me. If people want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter. I don't know. And I'd love to be back soon. Yeah. One of my coworkers was honestly like, Carla, I love your social media because you will call people out about, you know, saying really mean stuff or whatnot. But then you tweet about pancakes and milk. And, yeah. Anyway, go follow my Twitter too.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
It's got everything.
Yes.
No, this was a lot of fun. It was really great that we were able to get you on here and hopefully we do start to see 43 pop around on more and more podcasts and do all this stuff. And we'd absolutely love to have you again in the future. So
thank you. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, as an idea, like what if you have two 43ers, I don't know, conversation. I don't know. I'm just giving ideas. It'd be great. It'd be cool.
We're going to figure it out because we've said, like, we wanted to get a lot more of your cast on and you're only the third person we've had so far. We've had a nice hot streak. We have another one coming up later on in this season, but we definitely want to be able to get a little bit more, talk from 43. So cool. Alexa and I will talk and we will think. Alexa, before you take us home, I just want to say Arsten Garso is winning the power rankings game with 83 points. Andy Vogel has 79 and Jake Thulin has 76. I updated those and I could not wait to actually announce. I updated those because it's been 5 weeks. Now, Alexa,
thanks, when you're not counting. We will be back a little later than usual on Wednesday. I have an unmovable conflict, so we will probably be live around 10 p.m. Eastern. So stay tuned for that. As Phil mentioned, we have guest book for the next 2 weeks for our next two predictions. Maybe one is from 43, maybe one isn't. I don't know. You'll have to tune in. Carla, it's so great to have you here. Hopefully we'll have you back on again, maybe with a couple other people at your suggestion. Everyone have a great night. Become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist, and talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.